Howdy ho, everybody. This is Mark Ashton coming to you from Iowa, Rathbun Lake, where the Honey Creek Resort is, and that's the place where we're having our district conference. It's a Christian Missionary Alliance district conference, and that's what Christ Community Church is a part of, the denomination Christian Missionary Alliance. Anyway, today is April 18th, and what we're doing today is going through 2 Chronicles 26 through 29. Now, we covered 26 and 27 pretty well yesterday, so let's skip directly into 2 Chronicles chapter 28, which is about the building of the temple. Now, you'll remember that the building of the temple is a joint effort between father and son, David and Solomon. David was not allowed to build the temple by God because David was a man of war. He had blood on his hands, and God said, if I'm going to have my holy temple being built, I don't want it to be built by a man who is defined by his warlike status. So that was left up to Solomon the son. He was young and inexperienced, and so the task of planning the temple and raising the funds for the temple, well, that fell to David. David was to conquer and plan, Solomon was to build. Both were part of God's purpose, and both were used by God to achieve his ends. It's a brilliant example of God using multiple generations being faithful to the same vision in order to do exactly what he wants to in this world. Now, one of the reasons for God's determination that the temple should not be built until the reign of Solomon is clearly connected to the long-recognized goal of establishing the Israelites in the promised land and giving them rest. Now, this theme of rest, particularly Sabbath rest, provides opportunity for a special time of worship and enjoyment of the Lord, and it's a very important theme in the scriptures. It's quite clear from the scripture that we read that Solomon was not only David's choice to succeed him, he was God's choice. And God encourages him in the same way that David encourages him, the same way that God encouraged Joshua when Joshua took charge. Did you notice the verse, 1 Chronicles 28:20? Listen to this just in isolation. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. And those of you who know your Bibles well will realize that that resonates very clearly with the same thing God said to Joshua. It's the passing of a torch to a new leader. It's the command to be strong and courageous. It's the promise that God will be with you. And if you're a new leader, you can take that promise to the bank. You too be strong and courageous for what God has called you to do. Well, the next thing that's worth noticing in this passage is David's fundraising model. Did you know that 1 Corinthians 29 is a passage that's very often used by Christians in fundraising campaigns, particularly when you want to raise a lot of money for a building? Well, that's exactly what David is doing at this point. He's raising funds for the temple, and he establishes a pattern that's a very healthy fundraising pattern. David himself, the leader, went first, and he brought a radical sacrificial gift. Then he invited the people who were the leaders of the thousands to come. Then he invited the people who were the leaders of hundreds to come, and finally he invited the general population to come. Now the result was absolutely enormous, because each group was inspired by what the last group gave, and they themselves gave generously. Now it was the wealthiest who gave first, the king, and the most broad spectrum of people who gave last, but every single group gave a generous amount towards the temple. And in so doing, they built a mountain of resources. Now, the temple didn't last forever, but it did last for a couple hundred years. And it was awesome for all to see. It gave a sense of God's presence among his people, and it served as a center of worship for many generations. And it was one generation's generosity that made it possible for all of the other generations to experience this. That's an awful lot like people who sacrifice for a capital campaign today. When you bring your gift with faithfulness towards God, amazing things happen for your generation and for the next generation. Leaders go first, just like we did when we had our Double Your Impact campaign. Leaders gave first, I went right off of the top, and then our elders gave, and then our core group gave, and then finally the general population gave. Each person followed suit. And the generosity that has been poured out was tremendous, and the giving continues on, and it's a beautiful thing. And here's what happens when you do this. When this happens, lost people get found. Kids grow up in the ways of the Lord. The marginalized get justice. The uneducated get trained. The poor get good news. The thirsty get drink. The hungry get food. People in jail get visited. Marriages get healed. And love is poured out worldwide. And that is just about as good as getting a fresh temple. I'm so glad we get to be a part of this generation and this generation's generosity. Well, this has been Mark Ashton, hoping that God's blessings are poured out on you as you are generous with all that He's given you. God bless you.